ever beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Greetings and welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Tonight I have the return of a very esteemed guest, almost with one name, wiping out any need to introduce her, but in her own right she is a great teacher, lecturer, a potential time and space traveller, near enough. She's seen a lot of things. She sees a lot of things all the time. Without any further ado, Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Well, thanks for coming on. I just felt that at this time it might be nice to have you back on.
Well, it's great to be back.
Excellent. Excellent. So, yeah. What's been happening?
Well, there's been quite a few events, conferences and such. And, I mean, I think the biggest thing that's happened maybe since last we talked was the Venus transits and just, you know, taking huge leaps, I feel, in the progress on this journey, kind of receiving all the right omens and signs from the universe that, you know, I'm on the right track, which means if I'm on the right track, then lots of us are on the right track because I sort of consider myself a voice for the unified field and like to sort of extend myself into kind of, you know, just that wholeness of what we're all bringing together. And I'm just feeling this for many of us.
Yeah.
And it's been great. So, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely feel like I've been riding along on the same rails, as it were. Definitely, you know, feeling the shifts in these energies. And to me, there's this sense of, it's imperative. Now is the time. Whatever it is that's supposed to be happening, this is the time that it's supposed to be happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely a lot trying to yank us off course. And so, you know, for many, they're falling into maybe more chaos and negativity and destruction. But those that are utilizing those lessons and able to move through that energy without falling into victim consciousness or fear, you know, are doing the real, you know, transformational work and, you know, will continue to climb higher and higher. So it's just very important, no matter what adversity hits, that, you know, it appears as an opportunity to grow rather than, you know, a sign that we're, you know, going further down.
Mm.
So that, yeah. It's just the acceleration is just such that, you know, we either ride with it and we, you know, keep up with it, or it sort of yanks us under because we slip into an old behavior pattern, or we start to, you know, get too distracted by the stuff that's going on out there and then kind of forgetting what can actually sort of protect us and keep us, you know, in balance and alignment to our divine center. So I just see just a lot of that polarity, you know, pushing people either down or up. But those that get pushed down, if they have the tools, of course, they can take major leaps as well.
Yeah. Well, one of these things is, you know, number one, yes, you're right, absolutely, don't be distracted. There's a lot of stuff going on outside of you that can easily distract you from the inside. So much stuff going on, you know, so many dramas that are going on. So now turns out like the Batman thing was completely staged and nobody died. You know, it was just a new.
I didn't even hear that.
This is some other thing. You know, it's like it was just absolutely staged, and the poor kid was dumped there, and he doesn't know what happened either. Anyway, so there's all this stuff that's going on. You're right, and the polarities. People have been saying to me, you know, I've noticed people are like getting more and more extreme about things. I mean, it's been a sign ever since, you know, the sort of the late 70s. I think things started to look really extreme, and now it's almost torn completely apart, and people are both sides. You know, there are people who are trying to be super super good and super super righteous, and people who don't give a monkeys, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's also interesting because there's the Uranus-Pluto square, and Uranus is the planet of, you know, shake up and upheaval and breakthrough, and Pluto's the planet of death and rebirth, transformation, and because they're squaring each other, you know, it's really, you know, a positive thing, but it can throw people into the extreme of who gives a crap, and others to the extreme of, wow, we'll really utilize this energy to move mountains,
yeah,
and, you know, create a revolution, really just on a personal level, you know, like paying attention deeply to where we're plugged in to programs and behavior patterns and conditionings that, you know, are keeping us on a timeline that we wouldn't, you know, prefer or even, you know, even want if we knew where it led.
Mm.
And, you know, then the other is just sort of more extreme in extremism of wanting to hold on and attach oneself to the old way, or, you know, just stuck aspects in the self, sort of thinking that freedom means doing whatever the heck one wants, even though, yeah, free will says that, but, you know, we have to be held accountable. We're always held accountable. Free will doesn't mean no cosmic law. Free will's actually made things very difficult because, you know, it's a blessing that has been so abused that, you know, the trappings have stepped up to such a high degree that there's a whole system that's been in place to absolutely take advantage of those who've chosen free will to be self-serving. And so this is the major crossroads right now, is the law of one states, which I'm not completely versed in, but just the whole concept of service to self, service to others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now when it comes down to it, these are the two major choices. Are we thinking globally? Are we thinking about our loved ones and about unification and, you know, compromise and just, you know, working all the pieces together? Are we self-serving and it's all about us getting our way, having control over others? And, you know, some people think it's just about our views in the world. They don't even, you know, pay attention to how much this plays out just in the way we treat our partners and our friends and just our community. So, you know, it's just really important to pay attention to how we're carrying our energy, because that's really, at the end of the day, what's going to determine what timeline we're on, more than, you know, who we vote for or, you know, who we think is going to help us. It's us who needs to help ourselves, of course.
Yeah, well, about 20 minutes ago, I half posted something. I realized about just before I started to call you that I'd done this huge paragraph, almost verbatim to what you were just saying. You know, there's nobody outside that's going to come and help us. No ducks or drakes or no ETs who are going to help us. No messiahs who are going to come and save us all. It's us. It really is just us. And you know, I don't know, we're kind of spaced out, sort of almost what they would regard as wasted generation, but it's because we've been studying the new rather than trying to be successful in the old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we when I say we,
it's, I know, it's tough.
Yeah, like, who am I speaking for? You know, I'm speaking for me, right? Which is like you were saying, you know, I often feel like the way people treat me is the way people treat everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel I'm like any special. You can see people's character if you see how they treat everybody. You know, not people that they wish to suck up to or wish to impress.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, with this Uranus-Pluto thing. It doesn't allow the facade to continue anymore. And, you know, even the Illuminati can't allow their facade to continue anymore, so they really advertise exactly what they're doing, but most people aren't awake enough to even see it in the symbols and in the way that they, you know, are basically advertising what they're doing. But, you know, most people just think it's art or think it's just whatever it is. They don't even, you know, really think twice about it. And, you know, Lisa Renee said something interesting, too, about, you know, this Colorado thing. Because it's so staged and because it's so false, it acts like a black heart. I think she said a black heart technology. And what it does, it sets up a virus to be spread throughout the nervous system of people in order to prepare them for the next false flag. And I was getting that hit, too. I'm like, oh, this is just a small one preparing us for something larger, I'm sure. Because it sort of lowers the consciousness or throws us into this engaging in the story and getting obsessed about what it's all about. And then, boom, something else is going to show up. And we're already, you know, we've already got our attention on the media. We've already got our attention on, you know, just sort of like that collective dilemma. And it's important because we are unified, but we can't really drown in what the collective is dealing with. But we still need to unify, so we sort of need to step outside of that and unify from a place of neutrality as an observer.
Yeah.
But to get so engaged in it and so engaged in the drama, whether we're awake or not and know that it's a deception, you know, we have to be careful because there's a lot of incredible energy coming in, and it doesn't really require us to get all lost and trying to sort out things that are still going on in this 3D matrix.
That's right. Well, it kind of, in a way, it pollutes the pool of consciousness. You know, people are trying to have high thoughts, and somebody's down there saying, oh, look at that guy, and he's got red hair. He's not the same guy. And, you know, everybody's getting, oh, is his father? Is it, oh, what's his father been up to? And that's quite an interesting trail to lead, is the father business. But essentially, it looks like it's set up to distract the father from what he was supposed to be doing, which was to reveal the names and addresses of all the banksters who've been perpetrating the billion-dollar fraud for the last God knows how long.
Gosh. Yeah, there's a lot to the story, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a scratch on the surface. So, it's a distraction. It is.
In a lot of ways, yeah. It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's great to pull it apart in order to reveal to people it's a distraction.
Yeah.
As long as the one who's pulling it apart doesn't lose their mind in the process. You know, I think it's important that we see exactly what is going on, but, you know, remain as detached as possible, because going back into those spiraling anger, depression, you know, cycles, which we've all gone through, doesn't really serve us at this point, because there is so much to look forward to. There is so much opening up. And if we keep getting brought down by these false flags and just bizarre events, you know, it's kind of like looking in the wrong direction when the resource and the thing that we're looking for is looking at us right in the face and just kind of waiting.
Yeah, well, it's sitting inside us. And
exactly.
It's just waiting for us to take some time and do something that we want to do. You know,
yeah,
do something that we love doing.
Yep. And so that pathway ahead, which definitely is instigated from our inner knowing of it, is you know, totally the focus that we should try and keep. But, you know, I'm not here to say, you know, what people should read or not read or how they should react. But I do know that, you know, in order for ascension to happen, there's something called accretions. And it's the way that we handle energy as it comes in. And if we're not in a high enough vibration, we sort of miss the opportunity to upgrade and, you know, take a certain step in order to sort of remove the locking between one strand of DNA into the next. And it's like an integrative process. It's a co-creative process. And so that's the nature of distraction, is to pull our attention away from, you know, the light and the energy coming down from the galactic plane that receives in our own nature just sort of that receptivity, because it's within us as well. If we're off distracted in a moment where we could be accreting and upgrading and taking a step up, we've got our attention on something else that's bringing us down, and we sort of miss that opportunity. It's kind of like swinging vines. If we miss that, you know, it's like, you know, we kind of have to wait hopefully for the next one to come around. But if we get too locked up into it, it can be like a spiraling snowball that builds up and builds up and builds up till the only way to really get it out is to have a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like those kind of extremes can wear and tear and drain a being as well. So, it's just there's a lot that's wanting to step us up. The powers of light that are assisting us that we, you know, are made of, you know, our true origins are you know, obviously being competed with by these intruder races, and it's just interesting to see how it's, you know, playing out in this next 6 months of this huge prophesized, you know, date in December 21st.
Mm. Well, yeah, there's the classic December the 21st date, and then there's the 23rd date about the galactic ribbon. You've heard about this, like the big ripple that we're seeing from the side, which looks like a ribbon.
Mm. Right,
galactic superwave. So that's the evolutionary impulse that we've been waiting for.
And it keeps going. I mean, we have, you know, I mean, this window period is, you know, goes beyond 2012, December 21st.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I'm sure there's, I mean, all sorts of, you know, interesting things taking place. And so the 23rd is another big one. Any others you can tell?
Well, there's Christmas as well.
Oh, joy! Go tell Santa what we want.
Oh, Christmas. You know, I want a galactic ribbon for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it'll be tied around the present. Oh, here and now, Joe, but I think I got away with it. Anyway.
Yeah. Santa can unveil himself the true like nature of Christmas is really all about. Like,
oh, wouldn't that be nice?
And what they're using and the real deal behind that whole ritual that everybody is participating in without questioning. And why would anybody want to question all this stuff? It's like we're raised to, you know, bask in these traditions, and it's, you know, it goes alongside with family and gifts, and there's so much positive energy connected to it that how could we even question, you know, how our calendars have been set up and how these dates have been set up as sort of ritual dates to kind of harness our energies and our powers, you know, during these holiday seasons that we think we're celebrating the Christ when actually it's sort of an anti-Christ agenda, and we're just all participating, and it's very, very ironic. But we don't have to go there right now.
We could if you like. Yeah, you don't mind. Because, you know, I'm very, very much about deconstructing the belief systems that people have. And, you know, without taking someone's faith away, to be able to help somebody see the inaccuracy, well, you can't say the inconsistencies. It doesn't have to be inconsistent, but the lack of truth of a particular belief system can be very liberating for people. But at the same time, it can be very threatening and fearful.
Yeah, there's definitely an art to how to explain to people, you know, how to kind of step away from all that without it being threatening. And, you know, it has a lot to do with just simplifying it and having, you know, people realize that every moment's sacred. You know, we are spiritual beings. We were always spiritual beings. We don't need to really attain anything. We don't need to worship anything. It's all within us.
Absolutely. You know,
and it's amazing because, you know, in the simplicity of just, you know, honoring our planetary body, it's like the physical temple that holds the spirit of God, Goddess, just like our physical bodies hold the essence and spirit and our divine blueprint of our true essence. You know, just to get people in touch with that because, you know, I mean, it's not that threatening when it can be worded in a way that's not like, oh, a bunch of Satanists came up with this and they're doing dark rituals and all the priests are molesters. It's like, you know, that can wake them up and shock them to say, oh my gosh, what have I been thinking and doing? But at the same time, you know, there's always excuses being made because the tradition is just so woven into people's DNA even. It's almost like a gene that gets passed down is one that, you know, wants to serve, you know, a power structure or something outside of oneself. But, you know, I think it's absolutely liberating, you know, waking up out of, you know, religion or even waking up out of being atheist. You know, to both extremes, there's a really positive middle ground and a very neutral ground that all people should be very comfortable with because it's not challenging them, you know, any more than it's challenging to say, well, who created the bird? Where did the water come from? Where's the fire come from? I mean, obviously there's a creator, but the thing is we're participating in creation in a co-creative way. Our soul essence, and all of us are made of earth, air, fire, and water. We carry all the animal spirits within ourselves. We carry, you know, all the planetary bodies and the way that they influence us, you know, creates our unique, you know, identity that we come in with based on the zodiac and the natal chart that we're born in with. But, I mean, that's really where we learn most of our lessons, not from religious dogma, not even through schools. We learn it based on trial and error of, you know, the different rays and forces based on the planetary bodies and how we are working with them in our life experience. So like Uranus and Pluto, or just even on their own, Uranus, you know, is a planet of shock, and it's usually, you know, unbelievable loss and disruption and can cause all sorts of calamity, rules earthquakes and everything. But it's also breakthrough and just truth and just the lightning bolt of wisdom. And, you know, so people have to see if they're on one side of a polarity and really dealing with a negative experience and they understand the characteristics of that negative experience and where it's affecting them. Like for Neptune and afflicted Neptune, it would affect their dreams, you know, maybe wanting to escape or being addictive. But, you know, all these planets on a positive level, you know, when one can connect with the positive polarity of them, you know, absolutely, you know, hold the key to our liberation so that we can be liberated from the zodiac and we can be free of the wheel of necessity, which brings us back to that zero point right in the center where we don't have to lean on any, you know, particular piece of the pie, but we're sort of in touch with all the many aspects that we see in the tarot deck or in, you know, the astrological wheel, that we're in the center point of it and we've gained enough experience to have that wholeness. Rather than just living out aspects or roles or identities, we actually can feel, you know, the whole mandala and still have a unique expression, of course, but from a place of, you know, true knowledge based on life experience, not just book knowledge, which is great and all, but, you know, that's not necessarily going to give us the keys and the tools to transcend where we are at right now. And one more quick thing. The nuclear reactors, you know, with this radiation thing, have uranium, plutonium, and neptunium.
Yeah, as plutonium, yeah. Brilliant.
And what's interesting is those are the three outer planets. Those are the generational planets. And so the negative polarity of those planetary bodies has to do with breakdown, death, and with Neptune, escapism or being poisoned. Mm. But if we can take those energies and recognize that those planetary bodies influence us all the time, instead of letting that radiation hold the negative polarity of those planetary bodies, we can flip it around and realize that Uranus is the breakthrough, Pluto is the transmuter and alchemy planet, and Neptune is the multidimensional awareness. So when we start connecting to the positive polarity of the planets, we can actually transmute the effect of radiation and all these negatives that have come in through the negative polarity of, you know, the planetary bodies. So that I just kind of like was, it just hit me one night. I don't even know if I talked to you about it in an interview, so I hope I'm not being redundant. But it hit me like the other night. I'm like, God, that's so interesting that those three elements are the main ones in a nuclear reactor.
That
and then
great.
It was just like, yeah, isn't it?
The homeopathic use of plutonium, did you know this, is about fear of the future. So the imprint of plutonium on the water in the atmosphere will create a homeopathic cure for people's fear of the future.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. It's like there's something going on where we're being activated on some level if we can just, you know, allow ourselves to be activated. You know, it's like there's so many opportunities to just grow. And, you know, where we resist it and where we sort of hold back and choose, you know, maybe a destructive way, is we can only get it in the way of ourselves at this point.
Mm. Absolutely. Sorry. If you hear kind of guffawing in the background, it's my son. He's playing his video games and he's listening to all his friends talking. But I've told him he can't say anything because he's right in the same room as me.
I'm in my son's room, but he's not here.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah.
So, wow. Yeah, so that's covered quite a bit of ground already. But you're essentially saying... Stop, don't be distracted, feel what your direction is. Now, it's an interesting word, direction, isn't it? People often say, I'm looking for direction in my life. One of my insights that I had recently is that the word direction doesn't necessarily mean vector, you know, angle. It may also mean a director. Like in a film.
Uh-huh.
So when you're talking about the direction of a film, is like who is directing your film?
Right. Totally.
So I thought that was quite while we're talking about, you know, these insights, because it's all part of the puzzle. You know, we're told these words. It's like law, isn't it? We get these words that we're now finding out means something completely different in the law dictionary. We're learning about, you know, how the words have been stolen from us. And again, the words, that our language has been kind of taken away from us, in that we don't even understand the words of spirit.
Yeah, this language is a mess. That's why people have so many communication problems. I think one of the biggest problems in just most of anything is just, you know, communication. I mean, the level of misunderstanding and, you know, just the way the tones of voices, you know, express words that can sound, you know, 100 different ways depending on who's listening because of their own, you know, stuff and their own filters. I mean, it's just, we don't have a language that really brings it to a high vibration, so we have to bring a high vibration to the language based on our energy, because the words won't do it for us. We have to really, you know, put a lot of intent, a lot of good feeling into it for people to kind of receive it well. You know, it's like, so because it doesn't have that spirit component, it just, yeah, definitely we have to fill it, you know, with that meaning. And it was interesting when you were saying direction, too, because, you know, this is such an important time to really pay attention to what the return of the Divine Feminine means for all of us within ourselves. You know, it's like the embodiment of the now. It's like when I look at the energy of the mother, you know, she's able to be very grounded in, you know, in the earth, you know, rooted and very present in the now, not really needing to solve anything through the mind because there's a knowingness there. There's just a relationship with nature. And it's about nurturing energy, and it's about embracing the mystery and just being so in touch with one's own power that they don't need to try and solve the mystery because they are the mystery. The mystery is that we don't need to really have a plan. We just need to know how to be great dreamers and co-creators. And like one of my favorite people, Lee McCloskey, the artist, has said, you know, we need to write new stories. It's like we're being passed down stories that aren't really good stories. They don't really have the happy endings, or, you know, maybe they haven't even been completed. But our creativity is everything right now. We get to decide how the story is going to play out. But in order to do that, we need to really be able to slow down a little bit. And I know I need to talk less fast. I think I'm doing a really good job lately.
I was noting mentally. Note to self. Reminder.
I'm noting.
I know you well. Bless your heart. So yes, we do need to slow down. What I've been doing is you know, if there's anything I don't want to do, I just don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody says let's go out, no, don't have to, don't feel like it, don't want to. I don't care if people think I'm grumpy.
Exactly. It's like it's all about being really in touch with the rhythm of our own being, really in touch with our own truth and our own intuition, so that we can make choices that, you know, benefit us in the greater good, and not, you know, just saying yes and being a yes person and compromising in ways that actually diminish and put our life force, you know, down to a lower level. And, you know, we have to be just so super empowered, but not on an ego level, just on a spirit level, and just, you know, really feeling like, you know, we have total permission to just have whatever boundaries we want and to say yes and say no whenever we feel it appropriate for our beings. And just in the slowing down, the reason it's so good, I think, is because our spirit energy, our consciousness is accelerating so much that our bodies need to catch up with it. If we're too hasty and wanting to control outcomes and wanting, you know what's going to happen, or, you know, we're rushing too far ahead of ourselves, you know, I think our bodies just, you know, don't get a chance to integrate all the acceleration on a conscious level that we're doing. And so I think that's, to me, a lot of what the Divine Feminine energies represent within ourselves, is just that ability to embrace our power, to embrace our essence, to just take that deep breath and just be so, you know, strong and centered in ourselves that, like, nothing from the outside can pull us off balance, can throw us into a negative, can really, you know, bring us down or harm us anymore. Because, you know, the victim of the feminine is getting out of that level of consciousness, and the controller male, you know, is kind of coming down to her level. And so, you know, the two are sort of meeting halfway where, you know, the man needs to soften and the female, you know, needs to, you know, not necessarily be aggressive, but, you know, just not be in that victimhood, because women have been matching the Mars energy of the masculine, and so men, you know, think, oh, is that women empowered? It's like, well, not really. It's the men and women that need to get in touch with this whole other aspect on a divine level, which reawakens the divine masculine and kind of brings back that ability to balance the masculine and feminine energies on this planet.
Well, the way I was talking to a friend earlier about this was, if, you know, our personal reality, male and female, is very different. You know, there's different priorities, you know, different needs and everything like that. But there is a place where we all meet, and that's on the soul plane. And at that point, we're the same thing, expressing into two different vehicles. That's where I, you know, that's where the divine dance starts. Is by being on a level of loving, aware consciousness, being on the soul plane, it is where the conversation begins, where you realize you're one, mm-hmm. expressing as two. And definitely. That's the right order of things, and you see things from the inside out. And that's, you know, that's part of the neat insights.
Oh, that's so awesome. I love how you said that. Yeah, I mean, my gosh, like, you know, that's the right and left brain working together. It's a dance, and, you know, the masculine and feminine both have their qualities, but they all exist within our one being, and so they need to work together within our own being. And, you know, it's the creator and the receptive, being creative and receptive, you know, action and inaction, you know, decrease and increase. And some, you know, have a masculine charge and some have a feminine charge. The thing is, they're not supposed to work separate. When they work together, they're not in competition. There's no power struggles. When they choose to work separate is when they compete, because one wants to be right. One wants to be in control. And women are just as, you know, susceptible to that. I mean, women have become very masculine driven in this, you know, current cycle that we've been in the last decade or so, or two or three, in order to get into a more equal status, you know, rather than kind of unlocking that hidden exiled aspect that, you know, can reawaken just that harmony and that union of polarity again. And that's where we're headed right now, because that Mars energy is just, it's got no choice but to kind of enlighten itself. You know, the archonic rulership has to do with the lower chakras, and so Mars, you know, can lead one towards, you know, willfulness that leads to enslavement, or divine will that leads to our liberation, and each being has to decide within their own nature, you know, where they're going to steer their ship.
Hmm. So, when there have been a few moments this summer, Laura, when I have actually found myself empowered, and I spoke truth to authority right in their face. Long story. Those moments when I felt empowered, I had the truth behind me. And I think this is something that this is where the homework comes in, is that we each need to discover the truth for oneself. And that includes, what is our true story? You know, where do we come from? Who are we? You know, there's been a lot of, you know, channeled stories from Andromeda, stories from the Voyagers, you know, there's lots of people telling us our story, the Terror Papers. If we know humanity's real story, I believe that that's when we really are truly empowered. And it's probably going to be a really awful truth, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm glad we're talking about this because, yeah, gosh, I wrote something not too long ago about it, just getting in touch with our story, not necessarily the channeled stories, because if we're multidimensional beings and there's numerous timelines, maybe our story isn't all the same, but when we do finally find the truth, we can be empowered to at least understand maybe that that's a part of it, but that on some plane, because from the Pleroma where everything began, everything beneath that has been sort of an imitation copy, sort of like a photocopy, a little weaker, a little less, you know, high than the realm before. And then by the time it gets to this level, you know, it's far enough away to be able to kind of fool the masses, because, you know, there's so much disconnect and things connected to the frequency barrier and when Tiamat got split and just the dynamics of all that and what that caused. But where was I going with all this?
Well, direction, but truth, to be in touch with one's truth.
Yeah, if we, you know, did actually find out the real story, I think it would, you know, be very disturbing, but I think we'd be able to access something more than just one particular story. And I think that's where, you know, we've sort of been blocked in our own experience from truly understanding, because we're always reading about the story, but going into our own soul journey and into our past lives and into our own experiences, you know, can reveal maybe a different story than somebody else who goes on that journey. But the thing is, this is why we need to hear the real story, is because we've been given implants and false stories that are empowered, you know, through implants that can cause false memories. So even the resurrection of Christ is not necessarily real. And many researchers, including, you know, Lisa Renee and a few others out there, have said, you know, the crucifixion never happened. It's an implant. And a lot of people are, you know, remember it like they were there, but it's an implant. So it was interesting because I went through a hypno-regression into the life of Christ and there was no crucifixion. And so when I read that she wrote that, I was like, okay, this is very interesting, because, you know, I let myself go on a journey And some of the stuff we've been taught never happened in those things that I was viewing in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, when we find the truth about our own story and then start to realize that we're dealing with a multidimensional story and the larger, we can start to see, you know, in that story which different timelines and dimensions have that control and that manipulation on a mind control level, and which ones are legit that we've been traveling through that aren't implants, that aren't false memories, that aren't somehow, you know, attaching to our consciousness to give us, you know, a false piece of it. Now, I don't think you can go into hypnoregression and deal with false memories, but when we're dealing with our daily life and we're tapping into memories and just triggers, you know, maybe seeing Christ on the cross and people, you know, are weeping or remembering, that's a little bit different than going into, like, hypnoregression, where they might find, you know, if they were in that lifetime, that that actually never happened.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing, because when we do finally get the truth, a lot of people are going to be very defensive because of what their memories tell them.
Yeah.
You know, what they think they were in past lives, what they think actually happened. And the whole reason that they would do that thing with a false crucifixion is so that we forever feel like we're being redeemed as sinners, you know,
yeah,
that somehow, you know, we're lucky if we're forgiven, or not lucky, but we have to atone, we have to repent, and that Christ died for our sins, and we're always going to feel sort of that split where, you know, the feminine is sort of a repentant whore who got forgiven, and the Christ energy is, you know, sort of, we must look up to and follow in order to be, to have our sins forgiven. Now, that creates such a programmed response on a collective level. Even if people aren't religious, those stories are still in our unconscious, and it keeps us from being able to be whole and to recognize, you know, the Christ consciousness and the goddess energy within ourselves. It's an implant in order to sort of make it impossible for us to ever attain what we think we need to attain, or so that we work extra hard and distract ourselves in the process of trying to feel good enough, when actually it's us that is fine. It's the global elite that are the evil, you know, that you know, need, it's like the system that has set all this up,
yeah,
to make us look like the sinners are the true evil.
That's
so
the wrong one. Yeah, that's the bit that's wrong. The guy in the white robe.
Yeah.
With those big black eyes like the evil emperor from Star Wars.
Yeah, totally. So it's just funny because they have so many people fooled that, you know, this religious story, you know, is about humanity needing to be forgiven, when the real story is that humanity just has to wake up, because the wholeness of who we are is that Christ-Sophia consciousness, whatever one wants to call it, Shiva Shakti, the divine blueprint of the masculine and feminine working together, and that everything else, you know, it might have happened in another dimension. You know, I don't have fixed beliefs. I can share, you know, what this person and that person said.
Mm.
But I do have a strong sense that, yeah, the crucifixion never happened. I didn't see it when I journeyed into that life, and the control is to just diminish, you know, our feelings about ourselves and to keep us in that three-strand DNA mode so that we're always looking up to a figure who's outside. So
yeah, it's what in the ray language we call the sixth ray, which is the ray that dominates the solar plexus. So it's like keeps you in your lower chakras, and you don't go into the second ray of love, wisdom, in the heart.
Right.
You know, we speak the same language, but it's essentially that that it's that frequency of energy, and it's this is the energy that's been ruling for the last 2,000 or so years, and we're now getting a new one, which is the energy what they call the seventh ray, which is the crystal ray. You know, these crystal children that are being born. These are the seventh ray. Well, just about everybody knew who's being born, you know, unless you're connected with some deep karma. Everybody's moving into the seventh ray soul energy. So, you know, that there aren't many new sixth ray souls being born now.
Uh-huh.
So things, yeah. So essentially things are going to chill out after a while, after this thing peters out.
Yeah, I also heard, though, they're trying to hijack the potential of the indigo and crystal children that are being born now by implanting them with, you know, these programs, you know, because they've really been trying to hijack the 5D ascension timeline. And, you know, the concern is that there's not enough energy coming through the gates and into the planetary grids to allow you know, us to accrete to a high enough energy level to be able to release you know, some of these programs. It's like they're only delaying the inevitable. I mean, obviously we're all going to make it, you know, if that's where our heart is set and we, you know, we're true beings and we live in integrity and we're on the right track, yeah, we're going to make it. But the level of delays because of these implants and because of these agendas is so strong that actually, you know, there's a concern that not enough is moving through the gates and that the templates aren't being activated. And if the templates are too damaged, that, you know, it just prevents a person from being able to ascend, even if, you know, they're capable of ascending. And so this is some of the material I've been reading lately. Mm. And because I normally don't research, I'm usually just, you know, I'll read tidbits here and there, but I don't have, you know, a lot of time. And I just try and just kind of see what my own inner truth is telling me and don't want to kind of confuse it with anybody else's stuff. But I was, you know, checking that out. And I just found it interesting because I was sort of feeling that, you know, I thought we'd be a lot further along right now. And I do know that, like, some of these programs, implants, and intrusions, you know, have, you know, certainly delayed, you know, the amount that we, you know, just how far we could be right now if they weren't so blocked up.
That's right. We should be Jetsons by now. We should be flying around in cars, at least on a technological level.
Right. Mm. And, you know, and that would be the positive use of technology because, you know, those kind of visions were all in harmony with nature. At least the Yes albums, you know, that look like. Because I was thinking when I was looking at the Yes albums, I'm like, yeah, that's where we're going to be. Oh, yeah, I think we'll be there in 2001 or at least 2000. Our life will look like a Yes album. And it's like nothing even close. So, you know, it just feels like things are kind of going so slow because there is so much soul work. There is so much processing that we're all up against because, you know, the higher vibration sort of implants are sort of a shock because people don't expect it to be there to be an infiltration on those higher levels. And so this is what my theory is that a lot of people do psychedelics and really get out there on these journeys that aren't really done in a sacred space, that aren't really done very consciously, that are more just for the party, and that when people open themselves up, you know, to cosmic forces and they're not really doing it responsibly, I feel like that's where the intrusion comes in, that's why, and I'm not blaming anybody. I mean, my God, we've all had, my gosh, I mean, who am I to talk? I mean, I partied throughout high school and experimented here and there. And then, you know, in my 20s, you know, started to really understand that this is sacred. This is not a party substance. This is something, you know, to be in nature and be with Mother Earth and be, you know, in a safe group of people. And so we're all here to learn our lessons. I'm not here to say this is right, this is wrong. It's only wrong, you know, if we don't grow and learn. It can become wrong, but we certainly have a lot of room to just figure it out for ourselves. But I just got this flash that that's where a lot of the intrusion has come in, is the use of mind-altering substances that open us up without having the grounding or the protection in order to make it actually safe.
Yeah, well, that was part of the Tavistock Institute's experimentation, wasn't it, as well? You know, they put a whole load of acid and stuff out through the rock bands and so that people would lose control and be possessible, as you say.
Right, and so it just seems that that's how they got in. So anybody who sort of doubts that there's any programmings or New Age deceptions or implants that, you know, can steer one in a direction that's less than desirable, I mean, that's a lot of that was introduced, of course, by the CIA, and a lot of the revolution energy and change was very actually controlled in order, to have everything kind of get out of control.
Mm.
And it serves one as long as they can get back on track and sort of, you know, but if they follow that intention of theirs, you know, then it leads to a trap. But, you know, the thing is when we're awakened, it's like, you know, we might be immersed in their trap or their program or their intention, but we also are so connected to something beyond that that, you know, we can easily separate ourselves from it even if we enter the same door that they opened, you know?
Yeah.
It's like once we're in that experience, you know, we still have choices. We always have choices. Even if, you know, I consider this almost an artificial timeline right now that we're on, but it's starting to pass away because the organic timeline and the artificial timeline are sort of like merged in a sense, and they're going to be branching away more and more in two different directions. But I feel that, you know, no matter what we're up against, we have to move through the artificial in order to move in back to the organic.
All right, Laura. Darling. Could you expand on that? I imagine that many of the Ever Beyond listeners don't know about the artificial and the natural timeline. Could you run that one by us? And does that have anything to do with the Yellow Book?
Well, it's connected to the Yellow Book. It's connected to everything that, you know, happened around before the Second World War. And the thing is, you know, what's really freaky is that, you know, the artificial timeline is what the NWO is. I mean, that's the end result of an artificial timeline. And, there's a lot of amazing information that people need to read about it then if they, you know, are new to all this. But, you know, the artificial timeline is the hijacking of the 5D Ascension timeline. And those are, you know, from the intruder races. It has to do with, you know, dark occult technologies. It has to do with the beast computers. It has to do with chemtrails. And just all these different negatives that we're seeing, you know, are trying to launch us into a timeline that isn't organic, that isn't of our own making. And the thing is, they're able to siphon souls into this artificial timeline if they don't, like, if a soul doesn't know who it is and it's not really anchored in its own truth, it's very susceptible to everything outside of itself. And so it's very easy to yank that soul into a whole other timeline. And with cloning technologies, or the way that they clone, they're able to clone a body, put it into another timeline, and yank that soul out of the organic timeline into this artificial one. Now, you know, that sounds kind of freaky, and I'm not trying to, you know, scare anybody.
Yeah, you scared me.
I mean, but that's kind of what we're dealing with. And supposedly, you know, in 2005, this whole organic ascension timeline got hijacked, but somehow, because of, you know, just the nature of a lot of us on our paths and how strong we are, just whistleblowers, just spiritual beings that are really authentically true in that regard. And just, you know, all of us, I think that we all amongst us, ourselves, we have managed to kind of crack through that artificial timeline and create a window out. And that's, you know, what researchers have said. I mean, it's funny because around 2005, everything in my life, everything that I tried to create was getting destroyed and destroyed. There was an amazing opportunity that I was working on, and just a whole existence that was so set in stone that nothing seemed to be able to shake it, and even that got destroyed. And right after all that destruction was when, boom, here I am getting recruited to Mars. So it was almost like my organic, and this could apply for a lot of people, that's why I'm sharing, just to see if they can relate. Here I am just kind of going about my business, you know, wanting to do my work in the world, wanting to empower the planetary body, Gaia, Sophia, all that stuff that I've been passionate about my whole life. And, I mean, I was up against some level of attack and targeting that was so intense, and it destroyed so much. All these opportunities, all these things I had created that weren't, like, you know, all about me. It was, you know, just like an organic, you know, shipping delivery company I was running. It was land that I had to grow food on, and just this whole amazing existence, and just different things that could have really worked out as far as, you know, wow, it would have been an amazing ascension path, because it was just very much like, very much in the manifestation of my intentions and just what I felt I came here to do. And it got ripped away from me, and it got ripped away from me hard. And I think everything, you know, that whole cycle of nothing being able to manifest or get created to stick was going on most of, you know, my life. And then finally, when the final thing, the last thing that was really important to me got destroyed and I had really nowhere left to go, that's when the Mars recruiters showed up. And it was like they were, in a sense, you know, because everything else got destroyed, it was like, well, you have nowhere left to do. You have nothing left but this Mars recruitment. And this is exactly what you need to do, because it'll protect you of all these different catastrophes and things going on. But I knew they were behind destroying, you know, all these other areas in my life to make it impossible for me to have any other option but to go to Mars.
They were part of the make-believe, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I take full responsibility for whatever failed in my life before the Mars recruiters, but now studying and, you know, really understanding the nature of these intruder races and their agendas and just these technologies, and, you know, when I was recruited to Mars, you know, understanding looking glass technologies and really the toys that they're playing with and the treaties and, like, the origins of the treaties, you know, it was very clear that, like, wow, I almost got launched onto an artificial timeline, and that whole Mars agenda was the alternative 3 artificial timeline that was getting communicated to, you know, the government, to originally, it was launched, this is what Lisa Renee says, and I'm quoting her a lot, and I usually don't do this, mm-hmm. just because I really respect her research and is pulling a lot of dots together when it comes to the treaties, and she just is so articulate and just, I mean, her heart's in the right, I don't need to go off about why I really trust her information. I still don't have fixed beliefs, but I trust a good portion of her information as being as close to truth as a lot out there. And it was saying that the Churchill, Crowley, and Hitler originally are behind, you know, the artificial timeline and the New World Order agenda. And they were the first to kind of create these agreements, you know, with the gray aliens and as being all a part of the reptilian agenda. And then it moved over to, you know, Roosevelt and then Eisenhower. And so Alternative 3 was set up in his administration. And that's the timeline that I was almost going to be on. So in a sense, what I felt like my organic timeline got destroyed, and here I am, you know, almost going to Mars, which did feel artificial and, like, not what I was supposed to do. I got myself out of that. I refused to go, and then, in a sense, I had to rebuild my life and sort of create a whole new timeline and sort of... It's like the goal was to keep the natural stargates open. It's like I didn't care about the business. I didn't care what I lost as much as I need to keep these natural stargates open, and I almost got taken off planet. I almost didn't survive my attempt to get away from them, you know, to stay here on Mother Earth. And but there was an urgency, and there still is every day, you know, to keep the natural stargates open. And it was, like, told to me specifically when I was a kid that this was, you know, what it was about, connected to the Venus transits of keeping the natural stargates open. And so, you know, once that timeline or whatever, just, you know, when the life path that whatever... I mean, to me, a timeline is just like a path, you know? And so when one's very comfortable in the path that they're on, that, in a sense, is like a timeline. If they get ripped away from it, something's wrong. So I was never really able to create anything in my life until I was able to break free of the Mars recruiters. That's when I finally got my life back. Now I'm actually able to manifest something without it getting ripped away from me for, like, the first time ever. You know, I'm, like, actually able to inhabit a home for more than a year. Because before, you know, the Mars recruitment, the level of attack and the level of intruders and people just, it was insane. It was, like, insane. And I was at the Psychic Institute, and they said, you're not crazy. They said, you know, the amount of light you have, there's as much darkness trying to chase you down and destroy you for it. And I didn't really understand what that meant. And this is universal light. I mean, we all have access to it, so it's not like I'm saying I'm special or anything. But, you know, they're saying, you know, that this is absolutely real, and I've been, you know, trying to keep inorganic entities out of wormholes, which I would assume connects to the natural stargates. So I'm like, okay, inorganic entities, trying to keep them clear, to clear them out of wormholes. That sounded a lot like what I was understanding, because I wrote a book about it, about keeping the natural stargates open. So I got a lot of validation without them using maybe the terminology that I had come up with. But, you know, so if a lot of people feel that their life has been destroyed, or, like, they've had a lot of adversity, or this failed or that failed, and whatever, what they feel would have been a successful sort of, you know, existence, or not successful, but something that resonates with your heart or your truth or your passions, and you got ripped away from it, you know, that probably has to do with tinkering of timelines and just to allow yourself to kind of go through a death and rebirth and just be a creator and just create new. And I was able to do that. So I guess I like to pass those stories along to encourage people, because I do readings every day and a lot of people are dealing with a lot of loss and confusion, you know, that we can change the game. There is no fixed outcome, but we have to be, if we're going to be empowered at all, we need to be empowered in our creative energy and, like, our creative power and abilities to, you know, kind of make amends for whatever's been taken from us and kind of make up for it and still be able to restore things. Because if we start to lose it and we go into grief and, like, everything got messed up and this is all a big failure, you know, that's still duality. That's still an ego reaction. We're dealing with way more work than just creating, you know, a dream come true. We got a lot ahead of us to just be able to make a real, genuine dream come true, not just a facade. That got ripped away in a lot of ways because the facade was, you know, that's not really real yet, because there's an intrusion on the planet right now that needs our attention. Put all that away and go out there and go, like, serve humanity and assist humanity by exposing this stuff. And that's kind of where it led me, because I realized when I lost all that, you know, I'm here to do something more. And my life has been an example of the fact that it's real. It's not just, oh, I researched and I'm going to go out and tell people about it. You know, I've experienced it, you know. That level of being ripped away from my path, thrown into an artificial, you know, reality, and calling myself back from it, refusing to go, and staying true to me. And everybody can do that, you know. It's like, yeah, a lot of us can be siphoned away and taken on some artificial timeline, siphoned into some other existence, mind-controlled or messed with. But if you know it's wrong and you know it's not your truth, you know, they can't mess with you, because it's part of the law. I mean, the reason that we are on the path that we are on a collective level is because we gladly hand our power over. Nobody's forcing us to like the Queen. Nobody's forcing us to vote. Nobody's forcing us to vaccinate our kids. We're choosing to because we believe in the garbage that they're telling us. But they have to have our agreement for them to succeed. And the thing is, we've been agreeing because most people don't know what we're up against. So the minute we wake up is when we stop agreeing, and that's when we get our power back.
Yep. I totally agree. When we stop taking the bullying and start responding and saying, excuse me, do you know you're bullying me? Do you understand what you're doing to me here? You know, engage them as a person instead of as a officer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I have a request. It's from Dave. And he said, tell Laura I said she has learned how to breathe so well she talks slower and we all understand her in a humorous way, he says.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, but it's as you say, it's really important to take it easy. So, I'm going to allow you to relax a little bit, and we're going to take our, because it's top of the first hour.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So, I think it might actually be a little too, it doesn't have any of the chorus in it. No, forget that. I was going to play Angel by Jimi Hendrix, but it was only 1:45 long, and that didn't seem right. So, I'm going to play some Van Morrison. Do you like Van Morrison?
Yes, that'd be great.
This one's called Enlightenment.
Thank you.
Van the Man himself, Enlightenment. Oh, I love that track. How are you doing, Laura?
I'm great.
Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, welcome back to the second half of Ever Beyond. I hope everybody's refreshed and emptied the suitable pockets. So, yes. Sorry, Summer. I just asked for questions. I was like, what are you wearing, JP? So, where were we? Distractions. You know, actually, this is...
Timelines and distractions.
Timelines and distractions. It was interesting. I was downstairs and I had a thought that a lot of what you're talking about is almost like a mirror of the same kind of thought processes that are going on in my head. And that means that we're not alone, that we're like, you know, this is a cloud of thoughts that are coming through us.
Yeah.
And these are the thoughts that I was talking, you know, I was saying before about, you know, male and female is just an expression in personality, but on the soul we're all the same. This is the speaking of the soul. This is the voice of the soul talking to us all the same thing, and that's how you recognize it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is, and it's so... Sorry. Sorry, I just they have this thing about me speaking like a pirate. You know how West Country people speak in England. They're all flirting with me in the chat room. They all want me to talk like that. You see, that makes
that's funny.
Tracy die somehow. What's that film? Hot Fuzz. Have you ever seen Hot Fuzz?
No, I haven't.
All right. Because they have that accent in there, and everybody thinks, oh, it's pirate, but it's actually the west of England. Meanwhile, back to the artificial and natural timeline. So, let me just see if I can get this. In that we're talking about the creation of a pocket. Is it like a kind of holographic pocket in time and space? That some people are being stuffed into, but it's just kind of it doesn't feel right. It smells all wrong, and you know everything's just completely wrong in it.
Yeah, and it's creating a lot of damage to just the natural creation, unfortunately. And so you know, there's just a lot that's trying to fix it. And so you know, we don't really have intervention as much as there's a natural biology, you know, to the cosmos, just like the physical body. You know, works. And so, you know, I look at the organs of the body like the star systems, you know, in our cosmos or in the universe.
Beautiful.
You know, each of them is very different, but we all have to work together. It's like inside the human vessel, there's all these different organs, but so what that they're different? If they don't learn to get along and work together, then the person's going to get sick. If the masculine and feminine energies are just, they're, the body's out of balance, it's going to attract attack and viruses and parasites. And so when we look at our planetary body being out of balance as far as the masculine and feminine energies, and we see, you know, how it's so difficult for us to just work as one and see our unity, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a physical body that's completely, you know, breaking down on a certain level. Because, you know, can you imagine the liver telling the lungs, like, you know, you need to, like, leave and get out of here, you know, you're different than me, we don't want you anymore.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like, you know, everything has a function and a purpose. And just, you know, the wars between races and all this sort of selfishness and entitlement is absolutely ridiculous. And so the human body, the being that's within that human vessel has to decide for themselves how they're going to arrange and work with the energies that are inside of them. Because we have all the energies within us, all the archetypes, all the star systems. Our higher chakras can connect us to pretty much anything out there, and our lower chakras as well can connect us to the intruder races and the things that are defeating us. I mean, we're made of all of it. So we can't be victims. We can't be waiting for it to be sorted out outside of ourselves. We have to look at our ourselves on the inside and figure out, you know, what is the archetypal disharmony within me? What in my body is warring? You know, where is there duality and disruption within my own human vessel? Because when we sort ourselves out, we send that energy out and it starts to, you know, create a chain reaction.
Yeah.
So I see the same thing on a cosmic level, that all these different forces don't really want to work together, and there's all these competitions and power struggles, and the artificial timeline, in a sense, is the ultimate way to compete with the supreme being, who doesn't choose to murder and compete in the same way. Mm. It chooses to just patiently wait for people to wake up. You know, I mean, they're using Mother Earth to create these disasters. It's not really coming from her. Anything coming from her would be, you know, a natural balancing act in order to bring herself back into balance. But with all these different locks and programs and controls and technologies, it makes it very difficult for her, which in turn makes it very difficult for us, because what she's going through, we're going through. So as we unify and understand the nature of what we're dealing with, the one force that's incorruptible that can't be harmed is our spirit nature. And that's the restoration that's the place where restoration could be activated from.
Yeah. So yeah. It's all about, as you were saying, you know, it's about organs and it's about organizing.
And yeah, that's how I'm seeing it, yeah.
Yeah, because this is what the seventh ray is all about, the new energy, which is, you know, this is all the crystal energy. That's the word for it. It's reorganizing the world as it exists, in the way is creating a resonant pattern, like a prototype or an archetype that is new. And that's something that, you know, various groups have been tapped into for quite a long time, you know, for the last 100 years or so. And now everybody's starting to come together. It started to actually manifest, literally manifest. Even this medium which we're talking on, you know, has only existed for the last few years. And it's absolutely brilliant because it's completely empowering to everybody.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Oh,
I was just going to say, and so I think really divides the timelines more than anything else between artificial and organic, is that, you know, the artificial timeline and the Illuminati, which is more seated by Aleister Crowley than I feel any other being, is based on willfulness and over cosmic law, you know, the idea of doing what we want rather than having to answer to cosmic law. And that's why these technologies are all about the ability to create a super race, to create immortality, so that we don't have to initiate ourselves on a spiritual level to attain those abilities. We can use technology to give us that in a quick fix kind of way, and it doesn't matter if our consciousness is developed, we can still use the technologies, which is why it's an artificial timeline, because it's not based on the initiation of one's soul into higher planes of existence. It's about willfulness and the use of technology to gain entrance into those sort of abilities without, you know, doing the steps and initiations that are necessary to receive them organically.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, you know, it's so harmful, because there's no high consciousness behind it. It's just all selfishness. And so anybody that gets locked into it is either enslaved by it or they become an agent of it.
Mm.
And so there's a distinct difference between being able to locate our higher abilities and supplement ourselves at first with high technologies, you know, which use more sound, color, and frequency to initiate ourselves, because I'm not saying technology is bad, but the artificial timeline is more connected to, you know, manipulating.
Laura, are you still there?
Oh. Yep, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
said manipulate.
Sorry, yeah, I pressed mute by accident. To manipulate, you know, stargates and to open up things that aren't, you know, done based on natural law. And that's what the looking glass technologies were about. It's like having a toy that you can see too much, and then the mind sort of tricks itself with all the probabilities out there and then creates agendas in order to enslave humanity based on those probabilities. And that's where it's key, because nothing's fixed in the future, that we can skirt around whatever they've been utilizing as far as remote viewing to use against us. Because nothing's fixed, we can kind of outsmart them. And that's the only real kind of thing that we've got going for us on that level, is that on a mind level, we can outsmart them. On a spirit level, we absolutely trump them. I mean, we exceed those vibrations, those frequencies of the lower technologies absolutely and completely. But there is a level of needing our minds to be clever enough to kind of be two steps ahead of them by recognizing our creative abilities, and that, you know, the imagination is vast, and, yeah. and to just tap into the infinite potential that we have is what can create, you know, the new existence, the new, you know, reality, our new reality.
It's interesting, you know, this this thing about the intuition. You know, you when you meet somebody and you hear this voice in your head, and it's like the first thing that you really hear. And sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's like, uh-oh. But then your mind cuts in and you look at the person, you assess, you know, you do what you're trained to do. But it's that first voice, which is, it's like it's faster than the speed of light. It's there, absolutely in the present. And the more we can tune into that voice, the more we can avoid a whole lot of trouble by going down the wrong road, because you mm-hmm. immediately hear what that voice says. It's had all the experience of all the other lifetimes that you've had. Why not use it?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you're saying that, because we were kind of going into that territory and got on another subject about being in the now and embracing the mystery.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, ultimately, you know, listening to our intuition, we are so wise. We've probably done this before. I mean, where we are in this point of history even. And, I mean, we have everything that we could possibly need within ourselves to guide us. And it's uncomfortable for people to take, maybe because, you know, there's abandonment issues or just different things based on the abuses of those past lives and in our own, you know, lifetime here. And so it's extremely challenging. And so we need a lot of compassion and support, you know, as people are working through that stuff to kind of get back to the intuition and get back to that voice. Because if we move too hasty, we're not listening. Mm. And if we, you know, don't move at all, then we're stagnating. But if we can be inspired enough and know what our passions are and know what our truth is, our inner voice will absolutely guide us. And it allows us to, that's what I meant by slowing down, take one step at a time and make sure that you're in agreement to the things that you're doing and empowering and the people you're with and the places you choose to go, and like be fully conscious in those moments so that you're not making a mistake you have to dig yourself out of for years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Some things take a little less time than you think to actually come to a decision. And we can save an awful amount of time, like you say. You know, you can see down the road where this particular path lies, because, you know, you may have been there before, or you may have been there before in the lifetime before or something. But you've got that wisdom that is always there for you. And I think, you know, a lot of people conceive the higher self or the soul or the spirit as to be this thing that is so far away, so distant, and you have to have some kind of interloper, like a priest, to stand in for you, or a channeler to channel your soul. And yet, really, you are your higher self.
Absolutely. I'm just so glad we're talking about this, because it's like, it's really so simple. And, you know, it's more we have to spend time removing the programs than seeking spiritual attainment, because it's the things that remove that are the veils that reveal who we are. It's like, I wrote something the other day about, you know, we have to lift the veils on ourselves, you know, from ourselves, excuse me, because that's where the veils exist. And, you know, of course, there's a larger veil over the collective as that reflects, you know, the micro of all of us, you know, together. And, you know, it's just unbelievable that people don't recognize they have their own unique connection to source energies coming right through their crown chakra, right into their crown chakra. Mm. Their feet chakra is connecting deep into Mother Earth. Mm. And everything, you know, about who we are is all about that integration and that harmonizing of all those different energy centers. And that's all we need. It's just to focus in on that. I'm always kind of shocked by how much, you know, people are still, you know, going out of their way to, you know, get their spiritual information from somebody else or to adopt somebody else's truth. I think it's important to listen to people and be inspired by them, but people have to own and know who they are first, or else they're absolutely susceptible. It's just good to just get out and just hang out in nature, just to be grounded, just to, you know, just see what nature has to teach one, and then learn the lessons from nature. And then when one feels in balance with nature, then it's easy to handle the humans, because, you know, one has better discernment. I think the greatest place to kind of get in touch with intuition is definitely nature, just being outside or going camping. I mean, I had, you know, the chance to live in the wilderness for a couple of years, being a wilderness expedition, training for wilderness expedition leadership, which I did for a long time. Mm. So when I got out of it, like, it was that much easier to just kind of, like, read bullshit or, you know, tell fact from fiction, get an intuitive sense of where a person was coming from. Because, you know, nature just, you know, it humbles a person.
Yeah. You know what's
and,
right.
And it's,
you know what's
it's there's
immediate.
A certain level of respect.
Yes.
Yeah, you're gonna, you know, nature will come and bite you in the rear if you mistreat it. And so it was interesting because all the people that were the most disrespectful, the most selfish, were the ones that had to be taken out because of injuries. And the ones that were all about the group and about unity and about working together, you know, absolutely shined. And, you know, we all created miracles in that vibration. Just, you know, just different things that nature, you know, the animals would do, or just different things that were just like, wow, how did that happen? That was just amazing, you know. We just kept getting higher and higher into our experience, but those who chose to be selfish and self-serving ended up with injuries and had to be taken out. So, you know, nature is just kind of that instinct, just, it'll humble a person. It'll take them exactly where they need to go with themselves, and then, you know, it really prepares them for the world. Some people don't need to do that, but I definitely encourage people to, for them to be discerning in the next couple months, to spend a lot of time going inward, and if nature can assist them in purging whatever or moving through anything or giving them anchoring to hold on to so they don't feel a lot of that emptiness or those voids that they want to fill with just the support of Mother Nature, I think that's a very strong and important thing to do in these, you know, to prepare for what's ahead of us.
Yeah. Well, the feeling that I've been having for a long time is that we've just, everybody's got to absolutely forgive everybody for everything.
Oh, my God, totally. That's it's so important.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I've been demonstrating it to my friends, and it's absolutely been blowing their minds, the kind of effects it has. You know, you use it, the Ho'oponopono, the I love you, or thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, please forgive me, and all that stuff. So powerful. You know, people are just breaking down how many words it is, 8 words or something, you know. Their lives are completely changing and turning around. It's just, you know.
And that's how simple it is.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's, I mean, like, why haven't we done it before?
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine how more simple anything can be. I mean, we look at humans, it's like, yeah, people can build amazing, I mean, the architecture in this world is incredible, the art, the beauty, you know, the human potential is staggering, you know, what people are capable of. But it's mind-blowing that the last lesson that we all have on a collective level is just how to get along. I mean, you know, it's like we've achieved everything but the ability to just get along.
Mm.
You know, we can, like, just do just so many incredible things. It's just the kindergarten lessons are what we're trying to remember is just, you know, simple thank you and sorry and just, you know, just gratitude and just appreciating one's blessings and honoring adversity and embracing the lessons of, you know, any challenge and what it brings and just experiencing life based on what it gives you, not what you expect from it. You know, all those expectations, misguided expectations, you know, are the number one killer of harmony.
Mm.
It's just, when we're in the now, we can just navigate based on the energies that are coming at us rather than get disappointed because of whatever energy we expect should come.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very good to avoid disappointment. We have to book early. No. Sorry. But, yeah, disappointment.
What do you mean you have to book? We have to book early.
Book early to avoid disappointment. So you see it everywhere. Okay, sorry. I'm full of stuff like that. I'm very sorry. But anyway, meanwhile.
Oh, no. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Yeah, yeah. Because we do appear to be.
It's true. It's like.
Yeah, we appear to be speaking one language, but we're actually speaking two different. And it's very lucky that there's another communication going on there. But that's great. So.
Yeah.
Distractions, holding on to your being in touch with you.
The election.
Okay, distractions, the election. What else have we got to go this year? Is there some other big sporting event or something going on, sort of September time?
Besides the Olympics?
Yeah, yeah, because the Olympics, you know, that's going to be over next week, isn't it?
I don't know, because I'm so divorced from the television and all that kind of stuff. I know nothing about the election, and I don't want anything to do with the government. It's just like, because to me that's the ultimate distraction.
Yeah.
Watching sporting events is fine and all, yeah. But it's just kind of like, you know, gathering the masses to get everybody's attention on something to then maybe pull something. But, I mean, I can understand why people would want to view the games and get all into it. But, you know, I'm pretty sure they'll probably utilize that and do something with it. But, I mean, the thing is with distractions, whatever, to me, anything that throws you off and out of your center, throws you into, you know, a mass confusion, maybe anger, depression, and fear, is something that's a distraction. Doesn't mean that it shouldn't be worked with, shouldn't be swept under the carpet or denied, but if you're going to open up something that causes a reaction, you got to take it full circle, you know, and then seal the agreement, you know, to be open to it by working through it and then getting to the other side, holding a neutral space, being in the observer, because anytime we hold on to anger or fear, we're actually allowing them to succeed. They need us to mirror back to them what they're throwing at us by staying neutral and by not taking it on. And so if we hold like a strong force field around us and we can observe it without taking it on and letting it affect us and having us react to it, it kind of bounces back. Mm. And that's, you know, how we should handle relationships. If somebody hurts our feelings or hurts us, the worst thing that we can do is hold on to anger and resentment and judgment and sadness and all that, because we're weighing ourselves down. We're slipping into a lower vibration because of somebody else. It's much better to just be empowered and say, oh, yeah, take it back. You know, it's like, that's not my energy to take on. I don't have to carry the burden of your error. Mm. And so we don't have to carry the burden of the global elite's, you know, deceptions and lies. We can simply just hold our ground and let it bounce off. And so, to me, the distraction is in the reaction, not the exposure of it.
Yeah, that's a really important point, Laura. That we have almost been making excuses for the global elite by saying, oh, well, we chose this. You know, somewhere deep down, we chose this to happen to us, humanity. You know, and it kind of lets them off the hook, in a way. But that's fine. I think they can go to their alternative. So what's the deal? At the point of choosing, do they go down on their own timeline and we just say wave bye-bye as we see this planet receding into the distance?
Well, from what I've heard from, like, Hidden Hand, if that has any credibility, is that it's all about the harvest, and that this year is all about the harvest, and that they're trying to create as much negative polarity as possible in order to achieve a negative harvest. Mm. Because, you know, from a higher level Illuminati, the ones that are playing the dark role don't really know the larger game or the larger agenda. It's kind of on a need-to-know basis, so certain characters are only here to be evil because that's all they need to know. Mm. They don't need to know why, they don't need to know for what, but that they're playing the dark role in order to help people wake up. But they need to create a negative harvest in order to be able to succeed in leaving this 3D planet to go to a negative fourth density planet to work out all their karma for all the evils they've done. Because if they don't create a negative polarity, they're going to be stuck in this 3D thing again, playing the dark role. Mm. And those who can see through it and have awakened and to who they really are going to go ahead and ascend. But there's, I guess, what he's saying is there's going to be three scenarios: a negative fourth density planet, a positive fourth density planet, and then the continuation of this sort of 3D time loop that sort of traps people until they kind of gain the lessons of duality and move on, like a graduation. They're kind of like, I call them the dark teacher. They play the dark teacher role. And they'll continue to, you know, create as much negativity as possible until, you know, those that are ready to leave can leave, because, you know, the alternative to being in the 3D loop is continuing in this incarnation cycle and being kind of trapped in it. But that they're custodians of that process, but they want to leave. They want to, you know, work off all their karma so that they can go back to where they came from. And so this is what some supposed higher up kind of off-planet Illuminati being has been saying, and that, you know, like the Rothschilds and all these different families and all these different things happening on Earth aren't really aware of what these higher levels know. And, and that the dark role is being played for a particular reason. I've always seen it as a manifestation of sort of the shadow of humanity. But, like, I was talking the other day with somebody, you know, it's kind of like which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the agendas that have dumbed us down, or did on some level did we open ourselves up to it by kind of getting a little bit out of whack? Now, I can trace that back to, you know, Tiamat and the reptilian, Draco-reptilian type energies, and then, you know, the fallen Elohim and just the reaction to there being any intrusion on a divine level being rooted in some of these things. The thing is, like, I like to just keep comparing it to the human body. We have a war going on in our body all the time between our immune system and all the toxins and all the germs and everything we're exposed to every day. But we don't have to jump inside of it and, like, go to war. We simply have to hold a space that encourages the positive side to win. So that's in our thoughts, it's in our energy, it's in the way we sort of work with people and ourselves and just the amount of self-love we have and just universal love. And so I always, I mean, I kind of refer to the human body as a teacher because, you know, on a cosmic level, there's the light and the dark, the good and the evil. And in our physical bodies, in a sense, the same thing is happening. We're always challenged to stay healthy, and, you know, the intruders are disease, and, like, the one thing we don't want is to all die of cancer or to have some debilitating illness in our lives. And so most of our lives, we are addressing a war within ourselves, and we're okay with it because it's normal. So we eat well, or we learn lessons based on making a lot of mistakes and then trying to, you know, then we finally clean up our act and get healthy or whatever. Or we learn based on having disease what true healing means, or maybe we just go the conventional way and we don't learn anything at all and we come back again. And I see this happening on a cosmic level, that the star beings, the higher beings, the source energy and how we are made of that is the immune system, and all these intruder races are like the disease. And it's up to us to not engage in the battle, but hold an energy that supports the light side, supports the positive side. And the only way we can really do that is by living our lives on a level that is connected to that level of higher consciousness that we want to win. So if we wanted to win, the only way it's going to win is if we embody it. And the only way our immune system is going to win is if we take good care of ourselves. So that's where we're in co-creation, and that's where we have to participate. If we want the lights, if we want the darkness and, you know, whatever war we want the good guys to win, we got to be the good guy. We got to, like, make sure that we're not holding on to anything that supports the enemy. But we don't have to engage in the battle to the point where we're getting knocked about, because that's duality. We don't want to be swinging, you know, from the highs and lows and, like, getting trampled constantly. I think we've done that enough already. Now it's just about holding the right space so that, you know, we can encourage and embody the exact energies that are going to win. And it's not even about winning because we already have, but it's about utilizing the lessons that we've learned and saying, okay, I get it now. I don't want to go through this again. I get it. And then owning what we do understand and taking it with us, but not being so fixed to it that we have to be jerks to everybody, understanding that the real truth is how we connect with others and how we treat ourselves, and that if we gain anything at all, it should be, you know, how can we all harmonize and unify without it turning into, you know, where we're the result of these agendas. Because if they all walked away and left us, I'm sure we do a really good job of annihilating ourselves based on what influences they've had on us. I mean, we've bought into it. So I don't think, you know, I'm not excusing them, but I am at least acknowledging that we have bought into their game. We have allowed ourselves to be led astray. But I guess in a sense that means we signed up for it, but I will never ever excuse what they've done to children in those projects or the evils that they do on a daily basis. I'll never be able to excuse that. I can forgive it, and I can maybe accept that that role has need to be played on some level, but I could never, like, excuse it, you know. I mean, that's why I seek justice. Yeah,
it's absolutely got to stop. You know, all of that stuff has got to stop. You know, we can't support it. Now we know about it, we can't support it. And we, you know, we just have to withdraw our approval in whatever way that manifests, you know, be it by not paying taxes or trying to find ways of starving these entities of the energy that they feed on. Blimey, that took a long
time. Totally.
Long while to squeeze out, but anyway, I think I got that.
So, no, it's perfect. I want to bust down the doors of, like, people know where these things are happening. I want them to write me and tell me exactly where these things are happening, because I have no problem, you know, figuring out a way to get some kind of support from some cop who's not completely mind-controlled. Mm. And I mean, what is it going to take? It's like not enough people are stepping up wanting to do something about it. It's like, you know, oh, well, it's not my problem, it's not my child, it's not my so-and-so. But you know what? These projects are affecting everybody. And we're a global family, so of course, you know, we're in relation to each other. We have to care about each other. Mm. We have to put a stop to this type of stuff. And sure, on a larger picture level, yeah, okay, maybe we can all get it and see, yeah, we signed up for this or whatever, or that we created this. But the fact is we're here and we're up against it, and we cannot allow it to continue, yes.
Yeah. So, that's going to stop. We're going to see the end of that. We're going to see people. Now, so, coming back to having superpowers without the correct accretions, I believe that the correct accretions occur through harmlessness. It's like having a superpower, but not using it in order to manipulate the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By understanding.
So you're saying.
To not create any more, by understanding it so much that you don't create any more karma. That's really what harmlessness is about. Is it's like to not cause any more ripples. To dance through the waves, and very to bend like a reed, you know, like in the dune, but to be able to be flexible enough, be forgiving enough, to just move with the world without trying to affect the world. That's part of the path of learning. Of achieving the superpowers, it's harmlessness. It's not creating any more karma.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, it's like just really flowing with it all and just holding a high energy and just, you know, all these things that, you know, it's funny because religion teaches a lot of these things where it talks about, you know, the nature of how we should behave and this and that. And then it goes into a big hypocritical thing and a big kind of, you know, guilt-ridden sort of program, you know, especially when the priests are, you know, falling into sin themselves. But you know, it's interesting when it comes down to it that this has nothing to do with religion. It just has to do with energy. You know, it's not about because we're going to get punished. It's about physics. It's about the laws of the cosmos and the earth.
Absolutely.
You know, it's about balance. You know, these things have nothing to do with dogma or a religion, but yet one will see, you know, similar things being written in religion about the way one should behave in order to attain the kingdom of heaven. But as we know, the kingdom of heaven is within, and in order to achieve connection to our higher self, you know, we have to keep ourselves clear by not creating harm and adversity, and it's more accepting the adversity that shows up with grace, you know, but instead of stooping to its level and creating more ripples, to just transmute it and work with it and accept it and appreciate, you know, why it showed up and what it might have to show you. Usually what it really shows up for is to help you get stronger, not to weaken.
Yeah.
And that's everything that we've been dealing with is a strengthening act. But when we forget that it's taking us someplace positive, we let it become a weakening act because we're waiting for some savior to fix it or something, anything but ourselves to answer these questions or to alleviate, you know, what we're up against. And nothing's going to alleviate it because it's initiation. And the thing is, you know, in Native American tribes, initiation involves a lot of pain. You know, they put hooks in them and do all sorts of things. You know, people get tattoos and
piercings. Yeah, it sounds funky, doesn't it?
A lot of people are... but it's funny because a lot of people sign up for pain, you know, voluntarily. It's the pain that we receive that we didn't ask for that turns us into victims.
Yeah.
Yet, if we sign up for it, if we say, hey, I want this initiation or I want this experience, even if it's going to be painful, it's totally okay. And that's the thing with invasive energies. If you don't ask for it, it's painful. Even if it's something that appears good, if you didn't ask for it, it's an invasive thing. And, you know, it's kind of like the difference between a person starving and a person fasting, a person being lonely or a person just being in solitude, a person, you know, just gets to use their perceptions as a tool rather than, you know, react all the time. It's if we could perceive it a little bit different and maybe say maybe our unconscious wanted us to receive this pain in order to maybe get to another level, you know, we can flow with it a little bit better because we know that we're capable of handling pain as long as we signed up for it. So I guess my point is, you know, if we shift our perceptions into a little bit more acceptance of why something is happening, rather than, you know, feeling like this victimization, us and them, you know, we can start to weave these energies together and actually change the vibration of the source in which it's coming from. Because we come from source, and everything comes from source. So we hold in our genetic line and in our, you know, auras, and just in our energy fields, the whole story of creation and every being and entity that has ever existed. So whatever shows up to cause us whatever sort of harm, you know, is for us to be senior to in order to tackle it and its influence on our lives. And so the Mars recruitment was amazing for me. And I hope I have, you know, not expressed it like from the point of view of a victim ever, because that's never my intention. It was wonderful for me because it allowed me to be senior to these energies, to take forces that were knocking me over and destroying me, and being able to get back up on my feet and walk more strong than I've ever walked before. So in a sense, I thank them for that, but I still don't excuse, you know, the you know, what they do.
Yeah, but I love the way you say it, to be senior to the energy. That's a nice way of putting it. I like that. I might borrow that,
Yeah,
to master it, to be on top of your feelings, because what their trick is to flood us, you know, to overwhelm us with such an and it's like, this is the weird thing, and it's probably something that has been like, that's part of the modification or the chipping that we've had, but it's like we use the same equipment, in a way, to receive emotions as we do feelings. And if there is too much on the emotional level, we aren't able to discern the feelings. We're sort of, you know, we're distracted.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps it's part of the ascension that you learn to discern between what is a feeling and what is an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is like,
right,
you know, the whole, when you're stuck in the drama, you're experiencing emotion. Oh, she's right and he's wrong. She said and he said and he turned round and she turned round and they said and this said. You know, all of this stuff. It's so small-minded and full of hatred and spite.
Yeah.
And history. And it's all he said, she said, and oh god, you know, give it a rest, give yourself a break and give everybody else a break and just forgive everybody in your path. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
just everybody
that.
Say I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, and please forgive me for being so proud. Imagine if everybody in the world was to say that.
You know how much more beautiful the world would be? And it's funny because when you said the emotion and the feeling thing, I was thinking, you know, ego, in a sense, feeds the emotions. You know, feelings come more from, like, the soul. Like, I feel love. I feel truth. I feel danger. You know, that's like an intuitive reaction. You know, I'm feeling something. But emotions is like an ego reaction. Like, oh, yeah? You know, like, you're going to say that to me, or you said that. It's like everybody wants to win, or, you know, the drama gets so blown out of proportion because it's all ego. And, you know, from a place of neutrality, from a more spiritual perspective, it's more about how can we wrap this up and, like, find harmony? Because that's, you know, the intention of spirit is to resolve that so much quicker. But ego will keep battling until it's right. Spirit will just say, you know, can't we just drop this? Or
yeah.
And or the soul will say, my feeling is that this isn't worth it. And the intelligence of us knows a lot better, but our ego is where, you know, almost our stupidity lies. It just doesn't give up. It just doesn't know when to quit.
Yep.
And so the biggest thing I think right now is aligning our ego with our higher self and just letting our ego take direction from our higher self rather than our higher self suppressing our higher consciousness, because that's what the patriarchal global elite has done to our higher consciousness. It's trapping it.
Yeah.
And because they're archonic, you know, it's an archonic system that kind of rules the lower chakras, our ego does the exact same thing in our own body that the global elite does to the planet. It likes to suppress our higher consciousness. It likes to be right. It likes to be in control. It likes to be in charge. You know, it likes to just kind of get into all that drama, but that's like foreign territory to spirit. Spirit absolutely can't stand that. And so I wish people would be more repelled from ego and reactions. It's funny because it's the ego that makes people feel good about themselves, but it's like the ugliest part of a person, I think, sometimes when it's not aligned with their truth and beauty of like the higher self.
Well, it's the world of duality. That's exactly where it is. The world of emotion is the world of duality. And it's all us and them, and you know, me against the world. I'm under attack. I'm a victim. They're a perpetrator. You know, you get all these opposites and all these dualities, and it's all part of the drama, and it's all a distraction, and it's also like national pride, and I'm going to say it, pride in one's own sausages. If you can, you know, ask anybody, like, who makes the best sausages in the world? You know, and your German will say, it's a German sausage. And the French will say, of course, it's the French sausage. And et cetera. Everybody's sausages, it's a kind of disguised nationalism. You know, even if you can't say, you know, what's your favorite football team or who uses, you know, it's all this stuff. But I think a certain amount of national pride is good, and I think it's good to love one's own sausages, but also to recognize that we're all part of an organism. We're all organs in an organism, and I think that's what the New World Order is also trying to do. But it's like inserting inserting the arteries in the wrong place, and wiring us up in, you know, to be subject to the brain instead of subject to the heart and or sovereign from the heart, let's say. That they're kind of rewiring us so that the brain is ruling, but it's only got part of the information. It's only got like the library. It hasn't got the research labs, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's like they just use our minds and our brain energy like a computer that they like to plug into and control so that we don't even feel like we're being controlled because, you know, most people are just more than happy to be controlled. They don't notice it, and some of us are allergic to it, and we completely cannot tolerate it at all. And
there's no telling it. There's no telling that one.
But yeah, it's like the heart can't be controlled. The mind can control the heart, you know. I mean, the mind is kind of like the control panel. But it's just, you know, being in the heart just creates, like, there's nothing wrong with pride, of course, and I love that, because ego, a healthy ego is a great thing. You know, when one can accept wins and losses, because we're always going to kind of, you know, be in that dynamic a little bit when we're dealing with, you know, just a reflection of others and ourselves in this world, and that's kind of where ego came from. The creator wanted to know itself and sort of moved away from itself and kind of looked in the water and got a reflection, but it wasn't as strong as the truth of what that being was. It was like a copy. You know, seeing a reflection is not quite the same. And so that creates identity, and it creates ego, which created sort of Pandora's box, envy, jealousy, greed, hate. And so those are the lower ego, but the higher ego, you know, would be, you know, just having pride for what one is on an individual level, but is still able to be a loving being who can respect and love all. You know, that's a healthy ego. And, you know, when we're dealing on a planetary level and the Mars energy is the solar plexus, which is ego, and we're dealing with a physical reality, we can't escape these things that just float off and just be all fluffy and all this, but based on being in the heart and being a loving, universally loving being, it can integrate all these other aspects, which connects to the Kundalini rising and just connects to global alchemy, which reaches into the mother womb and just the depth of our soul. We need to just get in touch with all aspects of ourselves, not negate any because, you know, they're this way or that way, or put any judgment on any aspect of ourselves, but more have them all in conversation with each other. The ego needs to talk to the higher self. The victim needs to talk to the master within the self. You know, we have the elder within us. We have the master. We have the Christ being within us. That part of ourselves needs to talk to the victim and needs to talk to the ego, needs to talk to the parts of ourselves that get us into trouble. And they all need to get in the same room together and just love each other. Each being needs to do that personally.
Well, I mean, one of the ways I've been doing it is using a journal by, you know, I just type out the conversation that's going on inside me. And there are all these different voices, and I find it's a good way, because if I believe that the disease is a function of the conversation that our body is having with our mind, and that when something goes wrong, you know, your body's trying to say something. You know, you got something wrong with your stomach. You know, you can't stomach something. And you know, this is a Laura Hay thing. But I think it's very, very true. And when there's a I've lost the thread. No, it's gone completely. Shit. Oh, excuse me. Where did that gun go? Laura, where were we?
Yeah. Oh, you were just talking about. Wait, I'm kind of losing it too. But you were saying something really amazing. The thing is kind of. Wait, it had to do with like ego we were talking about, and then it went into when, I mean, you were just about to make a point, so
yeah.
It's hard to recall because I was about to. But what?
Go
what
ahead
were
you
with
just your. Saying? Go. I mean, I don't know whether I got, you know, like they disconnected my mental Skype somehow, but I'm just going to make sure that that's not going to happen. We've only got 15 minutes left, so I think we've done really well, actually.
We have.
Saying some good words, some good vibrations coming out.
Oh, you were talking about disease and communicating with
yeah,
disease.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
mind.
Yeah. Thank yeah. you. Thank you. So,
yeah, you were just about to make this great point about it. Yeah.
So the disease is because our we're not able to hear directly, so it has to say in an indirect way. It's like, you know, it's like trying to write something on your own forehead. You can't see it, and so your body communicates with your mind in a metaphoric way.
I think it's an amazing teacher. Our physical body is an incredible, incredible teacher. And, you know, to kind of sabotage whatever messages it has by going to a doctor and medicating is just so sad because, you know, we are so afraid of something going wrong. We're so obsessed with perfection that when there's a symptom or an illness, it's like, oh, come fix me, help me, save me. And it's like, no, it's like, listen to it. It's a message. It's, you know, so what how it appears, even if it's uncomfortable or it doesn't look nice, you know, pay attention to it. It's got an incredible message. It's a message about, you know, healing and wholeness and accessing a part of you that might be stuck or blocked or lost. And I mean, I don't know. I was like that as a kid. I refused to go to doctors. My mom could not get me to go to the doctor. And I still got sick. But when I got sick, I would journey into my soul and I'd find out, you know, where did this come from? What is the origin of this? And it was interesting because I was like, you know, I think my fear of doctors, I was, you know, sort of like, why do I have a fear of doctors? And I'm kind of taking a risk trying to heal myself, you know, because when we don't have anybody to empower us to do that, like, I thought I was nuts. I'm like, man, I'm crazy because I refuse to go to the doctors. I can't pass the government test in school. I have no brain for government. You know, it's funny that before we're really awakened or we know a lot of awakened people, how we're just sort of grappling with how we're dealing with reality and we have our own self-judgments.
That's right.
Now
we feel like the stupid ones.
Laura, that was really cool that you did that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when we feel that we're the stupid ones and that, you know, what's wrong with me? And then that's when the aha moment is like, oh, it's not me. It isn't me. There are other people who feel like this as well. And I think that's
brilliant.
I know,
brilliant. I have to admit that, but yeah. So, go ahead.
This is where, you know, maybe this is where we should, you know, bring this whole thing together and realize that, you know, that is the moment when you realize that it's not you that's wrong, that everything that you have been told is a lie. And it's time to start learning the truth.
Totally. It's so liberating because, you know, when we don't have anything to guide us or validate us or say, hey, I feel the same way, and oh my gosh, you know, actually, that is the truth. I mean, I would say 60% of my being, 70% could reassure myself and say, no, you're right on. You know, that's a good way to think. Keep going with it. But the other part of me was just like, you know, you're taking a big risk. This is stupid. You know, you probably need some intervention or some help. And, you know, even certain mental states are just getting stuck in deep pits of just being sad or, like, not even being able to get out of bed. It's like, okay, well, you should go get some help. And I'm not saying people shouldn't get help, but my approach was, no, I'm not going to get any help. This is something that I need to get in touch with because it's going to tell me what I need to know. And so I love having these conversations because it just reminds me, like, oh, my gosh, I've always been this way. And now I'm starting to validate myself for it rather than question, you know, am I just not trusting of the world? Do I have, like, some major issues? It's like, wow, these are all, like, heavy-duty agendas and programmings. And
yeah. In
my later 20s, when I really realized that, it was just like, wow, you know, because when I did heal those things and not go to the doctor, I actually cured myself because those things never returned. Whereas going to the doctor, you know, you get the same thing again or you just stick with the medication they gave you and you never, ever grow and evolve.
Awesome.
And that's, I think, why... you know, humanity hasn't, you know, taken the leaps that it should have by now is because it hasn't paid attention to its body and symptoms because we go, you know, people go to all these other places to get their answers and absolutely just paying attention to the body and what it wants to tell us is the ultimate teacher and same with nature, so.
I think, this is the nub here. Is a feeling of confidence in who you are is really important. That is mm-hmm. validated from something that you've done. Something that we each have achieved, some real achievement, you know, not just like a medal from somebody, but just that even if it's just knowing how to do something, you know, knowing how to light a fire properly. Or anything. Mm-hmm. Just anything. Having a confidence in one's own competence gives on a great sense, and it's very difficult when you're just learning, you know, when you've just started to awaken and you're seeing all these things and you're starting to see the world around you and you realize, yeah, well, one of us has got to be wrong. And
right.
I think at this point in our history, or at this moment in time, more and more people are actually thinking, well, yeah, actually, I've been following a crock, you know, these people have sold me a complete crock, and I think these are very interesting times. I think more and more people are going to be having this kind of conversation, Laura.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's just so good. And I agree. I mean, you know, people need that kind of, you know, something to feel confident about to sort of, it's self-worth, you know, is what people struggle with, just that feeling of self-worth. You know, if they don't achieve what the game and what the system, you know, says one should achieve, they have no self-worth because they didn't, you know, make a lot of money or they didn't have success in what they went to school for and this and that, so they feel like a failure, and that affects their self-worth. And for others, you know, self-worth is abandoning the whole system and making something for yourself because you're passionate about it and because it's the truth of who you are. That gives, you know, confidence. Or it's just, you know, or failure can mean, you know, abandoning all that. And it's just, we get to decide how we feel about ourselves. And we don't owe anything to the system. So if we choose not to participate in it, that's a good thing. And if we choose to participate in it and we fail, that's a good thing. If we succeed, great. But, you know, that gives us a chance to maybe open up something into the mainstream that's never been opened up before by tapping into something, you know, that it doesn't fully understand, you know, bringing alternative medicine into the conventional fields. So it's like no matter where we are, there's something to be proud of. If we've abandoned everything, if we failed at our job and this and that, then great. Then it's not for you. You know, that means that there's something special within you to launch and take a, you know, be pioneering with. And if one does succeed and they're able to go through the schooling and become a doctor, great. Now open yourself up to maybe what that industry is lacking and gift it with some higher consciousness. You know, because, you know, people sometimes feel like they created a dead end. Why am I in this job? I hate this job. Well, enlighten your job. You know, try and bring something into it that could actually benefit it. Or leave. Yeah. You know, we don't have to, like, you know, we are creators. You know, at any, if we just stopped right now and just looked at where we are and who we are, and we could just feel good about that, regardless of what somebody else might call it, you know, we have a lot to run with because it gives us the inspiration we need. We don't have confidence. We don't want to do anything. We get lazy. So I just am validating how important it is to just find something to feel good about. And there's plenty, plenty, plenty to feel good about. It's not based on the programmings and conditionings or what our parents think we should feel good about. We all know something deep within us that we are proud of. It's just we need somebody else's permission to feel proud of it. You know, people are always seeking approval. It's just like, who cares? My quote the other day on Facebook was, if you feel good about you, who cares what anyone else thinks? Mm. I firmly believe that. Like, who cares? Just feel good about you, and then you'll start to draw on people that will appreciate you. But you got to get out of the traps of where one is stuck based on other people's projections and opinions and attitudes. And don't let it affect your self-worth because, you know, you should only be affecting your self-worth. Yeah. It's up to you to be proud of you.
It's going back to the difference between feelings and emotions and being in the solar plexus or being in the heart. And, you know, if you're heart-focused, and you can just need to, like, you know, if you wear a pendant, it's a good thing to have over your heart because it reminds you of it. You know, because when you move around, the pendant swings against your body and touches it and kind of reminds you of that place. So, feel consciously what is the feeling that's in the heart at any moment. That'll tell you exactly where to go, because it'll tell you if it's time to get out, it's time to go. And if it's time to stay, it's time to stay, allow what to happen.
And that's true empowerment. Listening to yourself. Nope.
The other thought that I was just having was one of the things that I've been learning to do over the last few years is if ever I have a thought about something, to actually manifest it. Otherwise, just let it go. You know, so if I think, oh, I'd like to go hiking in the Cairngorms, maybe I should immediately go hiking in the Cairngorms. Or if I think about, I'll go and get the coal now, to go and get the coal now. And to kind of be in tune. It's not an impulse, because there's not an obsessive compulsive thing, but it's like being in tune with the need of the moment and flowing with mm-hmm. that.
Definitely, I've been paying a lot of attention to that. Just, you know, every morning you just wake up and just kind of like, yeah, it's like tasting food, you know, one bite at a time, you know, and a person knows when they're full. A person knows when they want a drink of their water or a taste of something else on their plate than the main course. You know, they have choices there in front of them, but it's just it's instinctual. It's natural. And when the emotions get in the way, when the ego gets in the way, when duality gets in the way, you know, we're just kind of like, we're all stressed, or we're acting like our parents did, like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, rather than what do you want to do? You know, structuring one's life based on what they want to do. And there's so much goodness when somebody focuses on what they want to do, because that's a lot of the humanitarian part of who we are shows up. The part of us that can't stand seeing, you know, an animal suffer shows up, rather than make money and go do that thing and this and that. But, I mean, I just love what you said, because I just really paying attention to that. What do I want to do today? What do I want to do when I get away from this interview? You know, like, I have choices, and it's up to me to just kind of flow with it. Just like, you know, being here right now is the perfect flow for me right now. Like, just, you know, and if one feels like they're in the wrong place, well, why do you feel that way? Either get out or make it the right place by adjusting your perceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, we have infinite potential, and our potential is, we're in the driver's seat of accessing it.
Absolutely. We are the director in our own movies. That is our direction. Lovely.
Yeah, organizing the organs.
Yeah. So we've done some good stuff tonight, I think. We've covered some really valuable ground and mined some very, very interesting seams in the materium of this world. Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, thank you very much for joining us on Ever Beyond. Do you have any events coming up where people can come and see you, or do you have a website where people can go and download things and buy things from you and support your reality?
Well, my website's CosmicGaia2012.com. And on the left-hand side, you'll see all the events coming up. 17th to 19th will be Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails in L.A. And then there's a bunch of Star Knowledge conferences. Asheville is the first one, and that's September, I think, 15th and 16th. And then Star Knowledge Conference in Phoenix, which will be around the 12-12-12 time. So that's all on my website, CosmicGaia2012.com. And I just absolutely love being on the show. I always love being on this show. It's like going home. It's just so refreshing, and I so appreciate you having me on again. So thank you.
Bless your heart. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for having a wonderful discussion. It's been absolutely marvelous. So let's now play the Magic Ever Beyond outro, which then turns off the tape recorders. Thank you very much, and good night.